There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Live sport, the latest headlines and top debate. This is The Grill, live from Barasti on DubaiEye 103.8.
Very good afternoon. It is indeed The Grill live from Barasti, where the game is always on. And let me tell you, the game is almost on at Anfield. Kickoff fast approaching for the early kickoff in the Premier League. It is the biggest game in English football. It is Liverpool versus Manchester United. We'll be building up to that one and giving you team news very, very shortly. We'll also be keeping you up to date this afternoon with all of the live sport, including the semi-finals of the Shanghai Masters in tennis. Both Rafa Nadal and Roger Federer are in action. We'll be stateside to catch up on the Major League Baseball playoffs. We'll also talk European Champions Cup rugby. The early kickoff over there is Leinster versus Montpellier. We'll keep you up to date on that. And we're going to be recapping on Pakistan's victory over Sri Lanka yesterday in their opening ODI. We'll look back as well on some of the big stories of the week. Egypt, they've reached their first World Cup finals since 1990. Some huge radical changes to cricket to tell you about as well. We're going to be live in Italy talking cycling. We're going to be live to the UK to talk sailing. We cover all sports on The Grill. We are live from Barasti from now until 6 o'clock.
This is The Grill. Tweet the team at DubaiEye Sport.
A warm welcome then on this beautiful afternoon down here at Barasti. Club football is back, so therefore I arrived this afternoon doing cartwheels into Barasti because, as we all know, I love the tribalism of club football. It is Chris McCarty with you. Know Tom Uckert today. He is off doing something more important than talking to you guys and keeping you entertained this afternoon. So you have myself and, well, we're a man down thus far. Dale Gordon, as he always is, making a fashionably late entrance. I'm glad to say, though, that Mark Archer has arrived in time. And he's with me. Very good afternoon, Arch.
Afternoon, Chris. Afternoon, listeners. And there's no surprise, Dale Gordon missing in action. Has he been seen in the last 48 hours? Well, we'll find out soon enough. But if you're looking for something to do this afternoon, it is one of the biggest fixtures in world football, let alone the Premier League. It's Liverpool taking on Manchester United live from Anfield. If you're looking for somebody to watch it, head on down to Barasti. Join us down here. The weather is magnificent. It's cooling down nicely. Big crowd at the beach. Plenty of space in front of the big screen. Or even come and join us at the Barasti rooftop garden. Plenty of space up here to watch this big, big and important Premier League match. Liverpool taking on Man United. Doesn't get really any bigger for me in world football.
Ooh, world football's an interesting one. We could have a debate on that. I think we did have the debate, did we not, a few weeks back. Celtic Rangers, for me, is still the biggest game in world football. Then
but
again,
that's not an important match.
Scot. It's not
this is an important match, Chris. This is.
I love it. Listen, I love it. It's a big match, no doubt about it. It is the biggest in English football. You look at the two teams, the most successful in English football history. That one kicking off then at 3:30. We've got team news in. We'll give you that in a second. But before we do that, Arch, let's just do a little bit of reflection because, well, I always introduce you over the course of the last 6 or 7 years or whatever it is I've been doing the radio as my favourite Kiwi. I've got to change that sentiment now because, well, we had a wonderful hour in the company of Sir Graham Henry this past week. Anyone that was listening on Thursday night will have heard that interview. It is up on the podcast. You can get it as well, DubaiEye1038.com. A fascinating listen about, well, the insight into what goes into making the greatest, not only the greatest rugby team in the world right now or ever, perhaps you could argue the greatest sporting entity right now, and that in the shape of the All Blacks. You're now second on my list, Arch.
Oh, disappointed to be relegated down the spot. But Graham Henry in town this week for the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens long lunch, which was on Thursday. I was lucky enough to be at a dinner, the long lunch dinner. Now they've extended the lunch into a dinner the night before with Sir Graham Henry. And as you say, Chris, giving insights into the mentality, the style, the coaching, the philosophy, the culture of what he started really as an All Black coach in 2004 through to winning, culminating in that Rugby World Cup victory, the first one in 28 years in 2011 in New Zealand, and carried on by Steve Hansen to win 4 years later at Twickenham and continued to this day in 2017. And if you do love your sports, it is a bit of a geek show.
It is.
If you do love rugby, if you're a New Zealand fan, but if you're a sporting purist like we are, it is fascinating insight to what keeps this incredible winning machine regenerating and being successful at a win rate of over 90%, probably better than any team sport in any game for the last decade. It's hard to beat. It's difficult to compare apples and oranges, I know, but in terms of pure statistics, it's pretty hard to top the success of the All Blacks in the last decade.
If you've got a suggestion on who is the greatest sporting entity right now, do get it in on 4001. We're going to focus on the big game in the English Premier League in just a second. Very quickly, though, Arch, before we welcome Dale Gordon into the conversation. One of the key takeaways from what Sir Graham did say at the long lunch, and he said to an awful lot of reporters, was there is a danger that rugby is becoming boring due to the continued dominance of the All Blacks. And I read an interesting article in The Guardian this past week over in the UK, and the author of that particular article was suggesting the same, that All Blacks perhaps are actually bad for rugby right now because no one's getting close to them. They continue dominating, 100% record once again in the Rugby Championship, a fifth successive Bledisloe Cup as well. Where do you sit on that? Are they bad for rugby?
It's not bad if you're a New Zealand All Blacks supporter, of course. You like your teams to win. But yeah, look, as an overall philosophy, and I think you've heard me say this before on Sports Tonight for many years, competition is good. Teams, you want to go into any sporting competition not knowing at the start of a season who's going to win in that particular season. You know, Formula One's been boring in recent years because we've pretty much known the winner's going to come from, you know, one team. It's been Mercedes. Before that was Red Bull. So sporting competition is good for sports. American sports seem to have it right. They seem to very hard to have dominant legacies in the American sport franchise setup. Albeit we have seen success.
Patriots.
The Patriots, we've seen
Chicago Bulls.
The Cavs have been good recently. We've seen Golden State now looking to embark upon an era of dominance as well. But I think we'd like to watch this like a match this afternoon. Liverpool versus Manchester United. Kick you off in 50 minutes. Really, any result is possible.
Yeah.
We don't know who's going to win this. And that's a good thing for sport. It keeps us hungry. It keeps us wanting to come. If this game was a dead rubber, it didn't mean anything, and we knew who was going to win it, it's not that interesting to the neutral fan. So, look, on one hand, yes, I agree with Graham Henry. I mean, I'd love the All Blacks to win in Tokyo in 2 years' time, another Rugby World Cup, three in a row, hasn't ever been done before. But the other side of me says, look, it'd be good for someone else to win it.
Yeah.
It would keep the All Blacks honest, to keep them moving forward.
Keep them on their toes.
Yeah, and so that's where it is at. But I think, competition in sport is essential.
That is the voice there of Mark Archer, and we've been joined, myself and Mark, by our other little special guest this afternoon. It is the one and only Dale Gordon. Dale, very good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chris.
Great for you to join us this afternoon.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, I was a little
traffic,
bit late. Little
traffic
bit
like traffic. Nightmare.
Traffic and nightmare in Marina today.
It's a Saturday afternoon,
Saturday
my
afternoon.
Friend.
Busy
that is
day.
What it is. Excited for the big game. We are going to focus now on that over the course of the next 15 minutes. And to be fair, we're going to be focusing on this throughout the show up until 6 p.m. this evening. Bigger game in English football for you, Dale, than Manchester United at Liverpool?
I think it's on the same par as a Barcelona and a Real Madrid, if you like, without not really being a derby. That is a derby, you know, in the same city. But it's a massive, massive game. The history between these two football clubs is there for to be seen, you know, with regards to how many trophies and titles and European Cups, Champions Leagues, if you like, back in the day, European Cup. But it's a massive, massive game, Chris. And I think that, you know, with it coming so soon after the international break, and we know how frustrating it can be for managers, because we know that this particular game, that it's taken its toll with Mane, who's now out for 6 weeks, will be a massive loss for Liverpool, as well, likes of Paul Pogba, and even, dare I say it, Flamini as well. He's on.
Don't say it, Dale.
To be fair, though, you know, he's been given his opportunity, and he's taken it, and unfortunately another one who's dropped out through injury, but it's huge, Chris, it really is. And I think not only just in terms of the domestic league, but also as well, they've had their battles in the cup competitions as well.
Dale, a couple of weeks ago we had Rangers Celtic on the screen downstairs. That Chris argues that is the biggest rivalry in British football. You've been lucky enough to take part in those matches. But is there a bigger match or a bigger rivalry in the Premier League now, still, after 20-odd years of Premier League, than Manchester and Liverpool? Is there a bigger match that the fans, the history, the winning cultures, the success, is there a bigger game than this?
I don't think so. I think that you touched on the Rangers and Celtic. I think tradition, religion side of it as well with regards to Celtic and Rangers.
Yeah.
But the quality of the football is not really there. But as an atmosphere, as a one-off match, it's outstanding. It really is. But for me, Liverpool and Manchester United, without a shadow of a doubt, is the biggest game in English football.
Chris, question for you then. If this is the biggest game in British football, in some ways it's actually disappointed a lot in many years. There have been some pretty dour results.
There have been, yeah. I mean, speaking as a Manchester United fan, there's been a few ones that rankle. Certainly that 4-1 Liverpool win at Old Trafford back in, what was that, 2008 stands out. It was when De Senna it was, the free kick to make it 4-1. By that point, I think Old Trafford was empty. But it is a match that normally provides and produces the goods. You know, I look back to that 3-3 game, Peter Schmeichel, when he almost came to blows with Sir Alex Ferguson back in the early 90s. United 3-0 up in that one. Liverpool came back to draw this one 3-3. So there's been numerous games in the past which stand out. I think for me, just going on your point there, Arch, about is this still the biggest game in English football? I think it is. I think what the Sky Sports machine and the rest of the broadcasters, they always try and create narratives, don't they, in certain storylines. And I think the biggest from an intrigue point of view right now would probably be Manchester United against Manchester City. Same city, it's red v blue, it's Mourinho v Guardiola. That, for now, has got all the whistles and bells on. But no question, from a traditionalist and a purist point of view, United-Liverpool has something special. They don't like one another. No. In fact, there's a hatred there as well. And it's that rivalry because they are two teams competing for the league titles, Manchester United 20 versus Liverpool 18. And it's also the European Cups, Liverpool 5, Manchester United 3.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Chris. And I think you make the comparison between a Man United and a Man City. I don't like to use the word hate. But these two sets of supporters do not like each other. That's what I think. A Man City Man United game is a huge derby, like a Tottenham and also as well Arsenal game. You could look at that as being a huge game. But you're right. I mean, I think with the titles as well, that Man United was striving to get to the heights of Liverpool. You know how many league championships they've won. They're now overtaking Liverpool in that regard.
They've knocked them off their perch.
They have, and it doesn't fit well as well with Liverpool supporters. They've been starved of success, if you like, over the years as well, and they've brought a manager in who hopefully will give them that joy again of trying to win a Premier League title. I still think they're a long, long way away from that. I really do, and I think that Manchester United, if you looked at the Man City against Chelsea game, this is a massive regards of putting there. You know, their stamp on the title to try to go on and win the title. And Man City done that at Chelsea, and I think you will find that again this afternoon with Manchester United. Because, however you look at Mourinho, he's played in these games, these big games. I always remember the game when he was at Inter Milan and gone to Barcelona and basically shut up shop and ended up getting a result there. And I think that's the same thing here. It wouldn't be pretty football. It might be the best, if you like, you know.
Just looking at the
Liverpool and the Man United, it's not going to be goals. I think it will be very, very tight, and I think Man United will possibly come out on top.
Big prediction that from Dale. He's already mentioned him, Jose Mourinho and Jurgen Klopp. Fair to say there's a respect from one another. They're not best mates though.
We have this kind of angriness also.
You know, it's just one more big game in our careers.
We go there for result, no other reasons.
I always feel that rivalry is a very good thing for football clubs.
We will line up for this, that we really we are really ready for all the challenges important.
I think the team that concedes the goal feels worse than the team that scores.
Everybody wants to see a real fight for a result. Yeah, watch it.
Watch it, says Jurgen Klopp. I've got a funny feeling there will be an awful lot of people watching it. The bar is filling up down here at Barasti. If you are looking for a spot to watch the big game this afternoon, then do pop on down. I can tell you it is filling up fast. A lot of red, as you'd expect. Liverpool and Manchester United both in red. One man who is in attendance at Anfield this afternoon, Kenny Dalglish. He got his stand named after him yesterday. The Kenny Dalglish stand, Louis van Gaal, interested spectator as well. You could make the argument his finest victory as Manchester United boss came at Anfield. 2 goals from Juan Mata. Got to give you team news as well. The team news is in, and it makes for interesting reading, boys. Let us start with Liverpool. 4-3-3 formation, as you'd expect. As Dale has already said, no Sadio Mane. He is out for 6 weeks with a hamstring injury. So Liverpool's starting 11 for this mouth-watering clash with United is as follows. Simon Mignolet in goals. It's a back four of Joe Gomez, Joe Matip, Dejan Lovren, Alberto Moreno. The midfield three, Emery Chan, Jordan Henderson and Jorginho Wijnaldum. And then it's Mo Salah, Roberto Firmino and Philippe Coutinho. So that is an attacking side named by Jurgen Klopp. And you've got to say that forward three, Salah, Firmino and Coutinho, that can strike fear into the hearts of Manchester United fans. For United, well, Arch, we were commenting just before we came on air, one or two little surprise decisions in this. Let me read out the team first and foremost. David De Gea in goals. It's a back four of Antonio Valencia, Chris Smalling, Phil Jones, Matteo Darmian. Midfield two of Ander Herrera and Nemanja Matic. Then comes the surprises. Ashley Young starting wide right. Henrik Mkhitaryan, at number 10. And then it's Anthony Martial, not Marcus Rashford, wide on the left-hand side. And then leading the line will be Romelu Lukaku. Thoughts on that, Arch?
Yeah, interesting to see. Obviously, Mourinho has some issues in the middle of the park, particularly with Pogba and Fellaini, who's been filling in pretty well for him in the absence of Paul Pogba with his hamstring injury. So he's had to find a way to adapt. Ander Herrera, who was one of the best players last season, but hasn't really started too much this year, comes in. We know what sort of job he will do. He can man-mark any particular player, and he can play that holding role, but he does get forward and he does thread some nice passes when he can as well. But interesting to see Ashley Young in there, where he takes his place on the right, because he's another player that does a job for Mourinho when he's required, but not usually part of the starting 11 on preference at his strongest team. Marcus Rashford, a surprise to see him come off the bench. He's been sort of preferred to Anthony Martial for much of the season, but Martial will do a job, and then Rashford will come in the last 20 minutes to try and provide a cutting edge, I think, for him there. But looking at this match, and I'll just give you my brief thoughts, is if I was Liverpool, if I was Jurgen Klopp, it's a must-win match today, because if they lose to United, you're going to be 10 points behind United. Mm. For Mourinho, I think Mourinho would take a draw now and walk back to Old Trafford knowing that he's maintained a 7-point gap over Liverpool. He thinks Liverpool probably will mess up in other matches throughout the season, and he'll be relatively content. So I think Mourinho will set up defensively like we've seen him do before, try and get him on the break, and at the end of the day, he'd walk away happily with a draw. For Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool, I think they need to win this match. I think it's as simple as that.
10 minutes to go until kickoff over at Anfield. When we come back, we'll hear from Jose Mourinho, we'll hear from Emre Can. We're building up to the biggest game in English football. It is Liverpool against Manchester United. Goal updates provided from Dale throughout as well this afternoon. An awful lot to get through. We're going to be talking tennis, we're going to be talking cricket, an awful lot of sport between now and 6 o'clock.
This is The Grill. Get involved with Dubai Eye on Facebook.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. Chris McCarty, Dale Gordon, the former Norwich, West Ham and Rangers midfielder, and completing the triumvirate this afternoon, it is Mark Archer. Keep your thoughts coming into us on 4001. We posed the question a little earlier, just who is or what is or what team is the most dominant in world sport right now. Your suggestions, no prizes in offer, but your suggestions very much welcome on the text line. We'll read out a few of those as the show progresses. We are, though, transfixed on the big screen down here at Barasti. The early kickoff in the Premier League. It is Liverpool against Manchester United. And Dalio, update in the early stages?
Yeah, we've come up to now 5 minutes. But to be fair, everyone thought that Man United might sit back and let Liverpool come onto them. I don't think so. And Manchester United, good early start from them. Within the first sort of like 3 minutes, they forced two corner kicks. Good delivery as well, came into the box, but nothing came from it. Liverpool obviously trying to get a good foothold in the game at the moment, but Manchester United just controlling the early stages of this. It's Manchester United 0, Liverpool 0.
Yeah, let us hear the thoughts now of Jose Mourinho. He was speaking yesterday ahead of this one, and he was pointing out that, well, he's come to respect Liverpool, yes, he's come to know their strengths as well.
I just know the quality of their players and the qualities of that team. And obviously the qualities of that team, they have a relation with the qualities of their manager. And I know that. I know that since last season. I know that better now because in the last couple of weeks I try to analyze them and to study them, you know, in a more precise way. I know what they are. I know what they are.
He knows what they are, so says Jose Mourinho. Let us now get the thoughts of a man who could very well prove key for Liverpool today. Emre Can, he's had a wonderful start to the season, has the German midfielder. He's been talking about this clash and saying that Manchester United change because of the strengths of Liverpool.
It has been, of course, highlighted that Liverpool have been conceding too many goals. And of course the criticism has come for the defence. But how much does that criticism apply to the whole team, not just the defenders?
No, I think that, yeah, it's a problem. We know that. It's a problem, but not just from the defence. It starts from the attacking players to us, to the midfield and to the defence. Everybody's responsible for the defence. And I think it's not just the defence, everybody on the team.
How do you see the midfield battle against Manchester United? What are you expecting?
Yeah, of course, it will be tough. They have good midfield players, for example, Matic, Mkhitaryan, very good player, and a lot of other players, and it will not be easy, but we have to try our best who's playing in the midfield, and we have to try to win the challenge.
Is it very different, Liverpool's style of play, to Manchester United?
Yeah, it's different. It's different, I think. But I think in the last few years, the style of play against us, they always change it. Manchester, they played a lot of long balls, but I don't know how they will play on Saturday, and we will see it.
That is the thoughts there of Emre Can, Liverpool midfielder Emre Can. We'll give you score updates. We'll keep you up to date on this one throughout the afternoon. 7 minutes on the clock, though. It is Liverpool 0, Manchester United 0. For the time being, I want to reflect, if we can, a lot of live sport to keep an eye on, certainly the tennis, and we'll discuss that very, very shortly. But Arch, let's get you into the conversation this afternoon. I want to look back first to the cricket yesterday, if we can, because fair to say that Sri Lanka set the cat amongst the pigeons with that series victory. Pakistan's first Test series defeat here in the UAE, but they bounced back in some style yesterday.
Yeah, good win for Pakistan in the first of three one-day internationals. They had a big win, really, up in the Dubai International Cricket Stadium yesterday afternoon and evening. Big win by 83 runs. Pakistan batted first, very competitive score, 292 for 6. In reply, Sri Lanka could only muster 209 for 8 in their 50 overs. So a win in game 1 of 3 by Pakistan by 83 runs. Of course, game 2 down in the capital in Abu Dhabi at Zayed Cricket Stadium on Monday, and then game 3 still down in Abu Dhabi on Wednesday, but sets the series up nicely. But yeah, going back to the Test series, wonderful win by Sri Lanka. 9 years undefeated in a series in Test cricket. Pakistan playing in the UAE, and then Sri Lanka, who had shown little or no form in the last sort of 12 months in Test cricket, particularly in the series, the last series they played against in India, where they lost all 9 international matches, came here and knocked Pakistan over 2-0 in the best of two series. So wonderful win by Sri Lanka. Pakistan, some worrying signs there. I think they were missing the massive hole in the middle order batting, Yunus Khan, Misbah Ul-Haq. Their experience of almost 200 test matches, of 15,000 test runs between them, just simply couldn't be replaced, and the Pakistan batsmen really couldn't deal with particularly Ragan Harithan's left arm spin, the pressure he applied, and he couldn't deal with the match situation. So great wins for Sri Lanka in that series against Pakistan, but I'm expecting a much more tighter and competitive one-day series and T20 series.
Yeah, big fan of Babar Azam. We've kept an eye on him, or certainly I've kept an eye on him over the course of the last 6 months or so. He could be someone that Pakistan could really build their team around over the course of the next decade.
Yeah, they need to find experience, don't they? It's a pretty young sort of Pakistan sort of test batting lineup now. Again, take nothing away from Yunus Khan and Misbah Ul-Haq, but it's a massive hole that they've left. So some of the more experienced batsmen, and Babar Azam's been around a little while now, need to step up. They need to fill the void. They need to score hundreds, big hundreds, particularly in the subcontinent conditions, to give the bowlers big targets to chase. So Babar Azam is one guy who should now hopefully take the challenge, move forward in his game, and become a lot more consistent at test cricket. But it's a massive void to fill, those two experienced players. You know, the years, the innings, the test matches, the scenarios that they found themselves in, they've dealt with it all before. And the Pakistan, the younger middle order, the top order now it really needs to take responsibility and crack on and be the foundation that gives them a chance in Test cricket.
The second and third ODIs up in Abu Dhabi as well?
Yeah, in Abu Dhabi, Zayed Cricket Stadium, of course. Big crowds expected for Monday and Wednesday. Should be a competitive one-day series. Not much between these two teams, but Pakistan, big win last night, as we said, by 83 runs at Dubai International Cricket Stadium. They'll be looking to find some momentum, find some form, find the winning formula there. And Sri Lanka have a pretty handy one-day side as well, some really talented individuals. So looking forward to seeing how these next two games
and
pan out.
No action between India and Australia yesterday. Rain over there, was that what?
It was rain in Hyderabad, yeah. It was the third and, I think, final T20 international between India and Australia. Set up nicely, the series, one win apiece, and all a bit of a damp squid yesterday in Hyderabad, abandoned due to rain. So yeah, we had one match, and then another match unfortunately abandoned. So let's see what happens now. Of course, I guess Australia, all their eyes start to turn towards the end of the month, and England arriving not that long now, 28th of October, they fly out to take on best of five test match series in the Ashes, of course, eagerly anticipated by all.
Cannot wait for that. We've talked a lot on Monday Night Football, Dale, about change in football, certainly change in all sports. We had Lord Coe on the show just this past week. He was talking about the need for athletics to change and to maybe look at franchises for, looking at maybe getting an IPL-style auction with athletes just to try and bring athletics, I guess, to a new fandom. It's the same for football. We keep the conversation continues with technology and video technology and the need for that. We're seeing now that the talk of changes in cricket at the very highest level. Change in sport, a good thing for you, Dale?
Oh, most definitely. You just have to, go with the times. I think that in regards to football, I think with the technology that's been brought in, with the goal line technology, it was crying out for that, wasn't it, Chris? And I think that it certainly worked. I mean, because there's been so many instances recently that have been able to be declared as a goal or as not really. But I think technology in football as well, you can be a little bit too careful as well. You be careful, Chris. We don't go overboard with it as well. I think the game is, it's all about opinions with the supporters who have gathered here today in Barasti, and I think that, they like to have their controversial discussions, before and after games as well. And I think that sometimes you can just, it's not like rugby. I don't want to see a stop-start, and really go to the video evidence and all of a sudden it just takes away the excitement a little bit. It all goes a little bit somber and then we're waiting for the decision. We do it in tennis as well, with obviously
the
Hawkeye, which works really, really well. It really does. And but it's a different atmosphere within the tennis,
decisions,
well.
Yeah, decisions are important in tennis, and don't get me wrong, decisions are of course important in the world of football, but a ball is in or out. There are some decisions in a football field that there is no right or wrong answer.
Exactly,
I think that's the point.
Exactly. And I think that, this game this afternoon, there might be a controversial decision. I was remembered, funny enough, the game at Anfield, the Chelsea game in the Champions League. Was it over the line? I'm still unsure about it to this
definitely
day, but it cost Liverpool dearly, didn't it, on that one? And I think that the way the game is going this afternoon, it might come down to decision where we have to be looking at. We'll be discussing it afterwards. Was that the right decision? Wasn't it the right decision? And looking at the game this afternoon, just going back to the game, Chris, if I can, just there. Wijnaldum just had a strike there as well. We're now up to 15 minutes in the game. It's now settled down quite nicely. Matip had an early chance as well, striving through the defence. Liverpool, Man United defenders just backed away from him. He struck it over the bar. It's settled down quite nicely now. And I think that, it's going to be a tight game. Ashley Young has started very, very well for United on the right-hand side. He's looking to, they're trying to get the ball into him and give Moreno all sorts of problems this afternoon. But it's settled down and it's still 0-0.
Yeah, 15 minutes gone on the clock. Just talking about those changes in sport. The ICC, let's go back to cricket if we can, Arch, because it does appear that, well, doesn't appear, it is, changes are afoot in the world of cricket. 4-day test matches.
Well, there's been some radical announcements this week from the ICC at the recent board meeting. Three big changes have been mooted. First one is about the Test Championship has been announced, and basically nine teams will play six series over a two-year period. This will start only after in 2019, after the World Cup, and the final will be in April 2021. So there'll be three home series, three away series over a two-year period. And the best two teams will then go and play a World Test Championship final. So they're trying to innovate. They're trying to give some meaningful context to Test cricket rather than series like this one this week happened and it was 2-0 to Sri Lanka. And that's great, but what does it mean? Not much apart from that. Let's move on. So they're trying to give some context and some meaningful relevance to Test cricket, which I think is a good thing. Also, they've announced a 13-team ODI league. That will be introduced from 2021 only, so it's a few years to wait to that. And the third change that they're going to look at is moving from a 5-day test match, they're going to trial going to a 4-day test match, because we have seen lots more results in test cricket, that this might change the composition of the pitches. They might be more result orientated, and so they're going to trial this and see how the experimentation works. But just to listen to more of the big changes from ICC, let's just have a quick listen to this news this week regarding these changes from the ICC.
A Test World Championship and an ODI League will be introduced to international cricket after both were given in-principle agreement by the ICC board on the final day of the governing body's meeting in Auckland. David Richardson, CEO ICC, said that the new system will provide more context and meaning to bilateral cricket.
What the ICC board approved was a test league comprising nine teams, the top ranked nine teams in the ICC test rankings, playing each other over a two-year period. Unfortunately, not enough time in that period to play everybody, so each team playing six series. And at the culmination of that, after the 2 years, there will be the top two teams play each other in a test championship final. The ODI League is 13 teams, the 12 current full members, so therefore including Ireland and Afghanistan, plus the winner of our World Cricket League Championship, which is our premium associate member 50 over competition. The winner of that will go into the Test League. That's also played initially over 2 years. It starts only in 2020 because we've got some pre-existing agreements in place between our member countries and their broadcasters. So it starts in 2020, and in that two-year period leading up to 12 months before the Cricket World Cup in 2023, those 13 teams will play eight series. And then with the top eight in the league qualifying automatically for the Cricket World Cup.
That's Dave Richardson, the CEO of the International Cricket Council, based here in Dubai, talking about the newly announced Test World Championship and the ODI League announced this week in the ICC board meeting in Auckland, New Zealand. Let's have a quick listen to former England batsman Marcus Triscothick sharing his views on these new formats from the ICC.
Makes it pretty busy for the guys who are going to be playing, but I know it's something they've been discussing for a while to try and get a little bit more of an edge to every Test match to play. You're right in saying that, you know, here in England, we sell out all games everywhere anyway, so you know it makes no great difference to what we try and do here. But across the countries and, you know, around the world, it's a little bit different when you're watching games on TV and there's no one watching. You can understand why they're going to try and do something different.
That's Marcus Triscothick, former opening batsman for England, with his thoughts on the ICC's new format for Test cricket. Now, cricket administrators are looking to find these new ways to make the game relevant. Let's just have a quick listen to the thoughts of Cricket Australian chairman David Peaver and the ECB president Giles Clark, believing that the four-day Test trial is the right step in moving Test cricket forward.
Well, I think, as you say, innovation is absolutely fundamental to the future of the game. So the league is part of that. You rightly point out day-night Test cricket is part of that. Pink balls, you know, all of that stuff. All of the changes that are being made are really important. I think four-day cricket, and I think trialling it in this way, is very sensible. I think what many fans want to see is a result, and a result in a shorter number of days. So I think the trial is really important, and you never know if the trial is successful, as we expect it will be. It's probably then a good feed into the future tour program and how that is carried out, because we'll be in a position then for more points to be able to be accumulated through wins rather than draws, and that will then make the contest and the decisions that captains and sides make more interesting. So I think that the trial is really, really important, and we just got to keep this change sensibly going, not at a fast rate, but a rate that we and the fans can all absorb and the players can absorb to make sure we continue to have Test cricket as relevant to our fans.
We have to see, what will 4 days mean? You know, will it lead to more draws? Will it lead to more interesting wickets and thus more opportunities for the bowlers? I don't think it's going to lead to flatter wickets, that's for certain. So I think all those options enable us to give ourselves the best possible opportunity of looking at Test cricket and saying, well, how are we fitting everything in? We are, after all, seeing a faster run rate in per over in Test cricket than we have done you see the accelerating run rate over the last 60 years. And so I think it also mean, by the way, I think that crowds will get better value because the over rate has been constantly a problem in Test cricket. Now they're going to need to get the overs in because they'll want to get a result, because otherwise they might have too many draws and not move up the league and not get into the final. So I think it'll result in more aggressive cricket.
The Grill, live from Barasti, bringing you the biggest sports stories right now.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. Barasti is absolutely jam-packed. The roof is down. the sun is out and an awful lot of people are out watching the early kickoff in the Premier League this afternoon. It is Liverpool against Manchester United. We're keeping an eye on it for you guys. Dale Gordon, 23 minutes on the clock. Not much to report thus far.
Not much to report. Not one. Goalkeepers made a save actually to date, Chris. It's been a little bit scrappy in the midfield areas. Going forward, though, both teams looking to try to get the ball wide and obviously try to penetrate down in both flanks. Salah had a half a chance, if you like. The ball was played on the right-hand side. It was sort of a come cross shot, really, and Salah failed to get a toe on it and didn't obviously trouble De Gea. Going up the other end as well, Manchester United, free kick just on the edge of the box, came to nothing, hit the wall, and still remains United 0, Liverpool.
What are you making of the early exchanges, Arch? You're keeping one eye on it, as well as obviously all the other sport that's ongoing, and we'll give you live updates of the tennis in just a moment. But for what you've seen, what are you thinking?
I think United started the match really well and seemed to put a bit more pressure on the Liverpool goal, particularly on the back four, and then we've seen Liverpool bounce back into it and just apply a bit more pressure. Both teams are looking to get against the other on the break, really. There's not a lot of sort of sustained pressure. It's both teams pressing forward and then trying to hit them on the break. And it seems that seems to be the both sides, which tend to cancelling out each other a bit. But it has been relatively open. Before the match, I thought United might really sit back and just really invite Liverpool onto them, knowing that Liverpool at home, emotional day, the new Dalglish Dan being named, then the emotion might get better and United might, Mourinho might try and nip them on the break. But both teams have been playing some decent stuff moving forward. As you say, Dale, a little bit scrappy in terms of good football yet from both teams, but typical. There's a bit of bluster there.
Of course.
There's a bit of a shove. There's a bit of a tangle as we like to see between these two teams. But at this stage, it's really been deadlocked for me. 25 minutes gone. Liverpool 0, Manchester United 0.
I think it's one of those situations where Mourinho will be absolutely delighted with 25 minutes gone into the game that they have not conceded. They look very, very solid all over the park as well. Yes, there's not too much play in the midfield area, which you'd think that teams tend to slow things down a little bit. They are having a go, but the quality in the last third from both teams has left both sides down at the moment. But Mourinho will be more happy with the two managers, Jurgen Klopp. He knows what obviously going forward what they're like. They're exciting and everything, but defensively there will be a slip in there somewhere, and it's important to see if Manchester United can take that advantage. But like you said, Arch, I think Mourinho at the two managers will be very, very pleased. United 0, Liverpool 0.
Yeah, 26 minutes on the clock. We'll keep you up to date when and if there are goals in this one as the show progresses. I just want to return, if we can, Arch, to the conversation that was before the break about changes in ICC, changes in cricket. I have long said that Test cricket needs a narrative. It needs this Test Championship. I think that is a very, very good idea. I think moving forward, we need teams to know that over a two-year period, who is the best Test team. For it or against it? You're a fan of it?
No, I'm a fan. Look, I'm a big follower of growing up watching Test cricket and sitting down there 5 days watching, draws at times. And then if you think about it, relatively, Test cricket's played between two countries, and we have the iconic series like the Ashes, which is England-Australia every 2 years home and away. And the neutral fans get quite excited about that one. We all love when, on the very rare occasion these days, that India play Pakistan, but it doesn't happen enough. And look at all the other Test series, they're good, but does it mean anything in the bigger context of the game? What are the teams trying by winning a series? Look, we know there's a ranking system. There's the ICC Test rankings, and the team that's on top of that after 12 months wins an award or wins a trophy. That's great, but what does it mean? Yeah. Who is the best Test team in the world? So what the ICC have done, and, we're not all, we do criticise the ICC from time to time, but let's look at some of the things they have done in the last sort of, in trying to be innovative. T20 cricket. Good move, ICC, even though it's really been born out of probably the Indian IPL. But they've embraced that. They've got an ICC T20 World Cup. That's cool. They've looked at day-night cricket.
So has that been a success?
I think in some places it has been. I think in some places like Australia, they're trying to find ways to keep the crowds at a high. So, South Africa, the jury's still out on that yet. The pink ball is still out on that. But they're trying it. They're experimental. They haven't. I don't think it's been declared a success or a failure yet. Four-day Test cricket, let's try and compact what is in 5 days into 4 days. Maybe it'll change the pitches, maybe it'll make the teams play a little bit faster, a bit more aggressively. It'll change the style. We've seen the style of Test cricket change in the last decade with this advent of T20 cricket. So they're trying stuff, they're trying to be innovative, they're trying to find relevance, they're trying to find context. And I guess any sporting governing body, you've got to applaud for trying to take the game, advance the game. And I think they'll hold their hands up if things don't work and say, look, we tried it, didn't work, and then we'll move back to something that is tried and tested. So let's wait and see.
The thing is as well, though, Archie, I have actually had the privilege of going to a Test match, But I just think 5 days, and you look at this, like you mentioned about the 2020 with all the razzmatazz that goes with it as well, you know, the music, you know, the dancers at the side of the pitch as well, you know, it's everything is all about trying to hype things up. With regards to Test cricket, being the 5 days, well, the crowds are not that great, are they, as well?
Yes and no. Look, crowds still pack in England to watch Test cricket. You've got the Ashes series, 5 Test matches, that's 25 days cricket in England, sell out.
Yep.
Hard to get a ticket for that day. Same thing down in Australia, 5 Test matches coming up in November. Tough to get a ticket. You know what I mean? Yeah, maybe on day 4, day 5, but look at places like the rest of the cricketing world. You know, we see Pakistan playing here last couple of weeks against Sri Lanka. Yeah, lots of empty seats for different reasons.
Yeah.
You know, they're playing away from home. You look at Test cricket in South Africa, generally around the Christmas New Year period, great place to go and have fun in Cape Town or in Durban or watch those matches, good. But Test cricket in the Caribbean for the West Indies and New Zealand, watching the Black Caps, some of these other countries, it's not great.
Mm.
So you've got to try and find ways of innovate around these iconic series, and that's what the ICC are trying to do, give more teams some relevance. If teams are playing a series and if they win the series, it means they're going to go and play for a Test championship. Maybe the crowds will show up because there is some relevance to it. So I guess let's wait and see. And, you know, it's cricket. Test cricket has been around for a long time, you know, 100-plus years. So take time, as the administrators from, I think, Giles Clark from the ECB said, and the Australian guy said, we're not going to change the sport overnight. We're going to introduce changes and see how the crowds adapt and see what if we can move with the times. And you've got 3 formats of cricket. It's not like football where you've got 90 minutes and that's it. There isn't much, unless you're playing a five-a-side match, which I guess holds some appeal, but it's not that exciting, really. You've got 90 minutes of football. Football hasn't changed that much apart from, say, introducing some technology to try and get some decisions correct.
Yeah.
In the last decade of cricket, you know, we've seen T20 emerge, and now we have a T20 World Cup, we have the IPL, we have all these different leagues and different formats, which is great, but we still have Test cricket as it's been really for 100-plus years, and they're trying to find ways to keep that modern, keep it relevant, and bring in the crowd, make it exciting for all followers and fans.
Let us know your thoughts. A Test championship, are you for or against it? A one-day international league, again, are you for or against it? Perhaps there's ideas that we've not discussed and the ICC are not discussing that you'd like to see implemented. Get us on 4001. We'll read out some of your text messages when we come back. 4 o'clock, news headline time now. When we come back, the conversation continues, and hopefully we've got a goal to tell you about. Stay tuned.
This is The Grill. Tweet the team at Dubai Eye Sport.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.